Yes, that line forms on the right babe. Not that Maggie. Back in time.
Yes, sir! Yes, sir! 202 on the Fan! McMonagle here with you on this Wednesday morning, and we made it! We made it to day one, game one of the Eastern Conference Finals. 888-808-1019. Been waiting for this since Friday. I am so pumped up. Knicks fans, let's go. We got a big night ahead of us, a big day ahead of us. 888-808-1019. I'm here with you for the next 3 hours. We got Nico on the other side taking your phone calls, 888-808-1019. And we'll get to the Knicks. Most of the show will be looking forward to the Eastern Conference Finals and the matchup against the Indiana Pacers. But let's start with the Mets because obviously so much, and I was just listening to Keith, and I know yesterday, God knows, we talked so much Juan Soto and how much you guys are desperate to talk Juan Soto. And then another performance. Again, forget Juan Soto. Forget everything about all the nonsense on if he's happy or not, which, again, I don't typically do the Met fan, Yankee fan thing, but maybe we'll get into that because guess what? I feel like the Yankee fans are getting a bad rap in this whole story. But obviously, he's struggling. The entire offense is struggling. And now it's been able to be swept under the rug, right? And I heard, I watched the post game. And I watched Mendoza talk about it. We're going through it right now. The owner, Steve Cohen, comes on Twitter and talks about the ups and downs of a season. Well, here's the truth. Here's the plain truth, Met fans, and you know it better than I know it. This is not the ups and downs of the season for the offense. This is not we're going through it right now for the offense. This offense has been unable to hit with runners in scoring position this entire season. This is not new. They are not going through it right now. This has been what this offense has been all year. They are the third worst team in baseball. The third worst team in baseball with runners in scoring position. This is not some new trend. The losing is a new trend. Losing 5 of 6. Losing back-to-back series. But we've talked about it for a long time now. This pitching staff and the Mets pitching lab and what they've been able to do has been covering up an offense that's been going through it for almost the entire year. And an incredible start from Pete Alonso and a really incredible start outside of maybe the first week of the season from Lindor have really covered up what has been the issue for this team all year long. An offense that continues to struggle with runners in scoring position. And yeah, the face of it is Juan Soto. And so much of what we talked about and the nature of the Subway Series and everything coming off of that. And I think it's had an impact on this team specifically right now. But honestly, when you look at it, Pete Alonso's cooled off. Lindor's cooled off. You've gotten a couple of bad starts. McGill isn't another guy just plugging along in this incredible nonstop unbelievable run of starting pitching. So you've run into McGill kind of falling off as we wait for Blackburn to return from injury. And even Kodai Senga, who managed to get through the game and ultimately gave you a pretty damn good start for someone who had an ERA of 1.1 heading into the game, still only gave up 3 runs, but he wasn't pitch perfect. And the New York Yankees, the last game against Pittsburgh, where the offense looked absolutely ice cold. It looked like the Mets were going through the motions. They get shut down on Friday night, have their opportunities against Carlos Rodon, but come up small in almost every spot. They scored just enough on another great pitching performance by the incredible, just unbelievably amazing Griffin Canning on Saturday, and you score just enough runs late, and it's based on what? Infield singles and hits batters and sacrifice flies. another game offensively on Sunday where you're shut down by Max Fried, and now they've rolled into Boston off of that series, off of all the Soto talk, off of all this, whether he's unhappy, whether he's glum, whether he's ducking the media, whether other teammates have to step up in his place to talk on Sunday Night Baseball, whatever the case may be, this offense in a game last night where Walker Buehler gets thrown out of the game in the third inning. Walker Buehler, who was pitching relatively well, had four strikeouts in the first two and a third innings, had given up no hits in his first return from the injured list, and you weren't sure how long he was going to go into the game anyway, but you allowed a Red Sox team that is 4.5 games behind the New York Yankees, that has been mediocre at best with a lot of hype heading into the season as one of the better teams in a down American League, who have not found their footing really all year, have their own problems with their superstar who doesn't want to DH, who doesn't want to play first base, and that noise kind of overcoming and being a major albatross around the neck of this Boston Red Sox season. And you let them, who haven't, you know, been playing well really at all this year, completely shut down this offense. And Walker Buehler gets thrown out in the third inning, and a cavalcade of Boston Red Sox relievers, ending with Aroldis Chapman, throw 6 2/3 of scoreless baseball. And right now, this Met team is, as the manager said, going through it. Now, look, they're still a very good team. And when it comes to Juan Soto, whatever we hear and whatever, you know, one-liners you read or see from WFAN or myself on social media about our concerns about Juan Soto, I think it's all understood that we don't expect this to last forever. No one expects Juan Soto to be bad all year, and he hasn't even been that bad. But everyone expects Juan Soto to find himself. Everyone expects Juan Soto to turn this around. Everyone expects Juan Soto to impact this offense. But the fact of the matter is, right now he's not. It's not a made-up Yankee fan narrative. It's not a made-up media narrative. We can see the emotion on his face. It is no longer up for debate. Something is up with Juan Soto. Now, the idea he's desperate to be a Yankee, the idea he's miserable being a Met? Sure. That's probably a narrative that's unfair. No reason to believe it to be as strong as it's being reported. But it is not a Yankee fan narrative or something out of left field that is being perpetrated upon Juan Soto and the New York Mets. The idea that he's, like, we all watch it, we all see it, you see it too. There is something wrong, and Juan Soto is not playing with his normal joy for baseball. That's a fact. And all the noise around it through the Subway Series feels like, despite that this offense really has been like this, Juan Soto's been struggling with runners in scoring position the entire year. This Met team, it's not just the last 5 games out of 6. They're the third worst team in baseball with runners in scoring position. That doesn't happen in 4 or 5 games. This has been an issue for this Met team. You've watched them win a lot of one-run games. You've seen a lot of incredible starts. You've seen a lot of need out of guys like Reed Garrett and Diaz and this bullpen that was really incredible to start the year. And it was needed every single game because this team has not hit. And now they're a game and a half behind the Philadelphia Phillies, who have come up, surpassed them, playing the Colorado Rockies. The division lead is gone. And this offense, they have got to find something because, let's be honest, it's not just Juan Soto. I do believe there's something to the idea of all of the talk around Juan Soto and all of the wondering if Juan Soto's happy and reports he's glum and sad inside the clubhouse. I think it's probably carrying over and bringing some sort of issue inside the room and on the team. I don't expect it to last forever. I don't think it's anything that's going to really hamper this team from being where it wants to be at the end of the year. That is maybe something that they're just going through over the last couple days. But Mark Vientos has been struggling offensively and defensively this entire season. Alvarez has not lived up to what we thought he could be as an offensive player, as the top prospect in all of baseball a couple years ago. That goes far beyond the last 5 days. what we're seeing Brandon Nimmo's up and down season and what he's going through is not new to this team over the last five or six games. This team that was really built on offense, and it was supposed to be explosive when Juan Soto was signed. That's why you were all so happy about his signing. Yes, stealing it away from the Yankee fan, the dynamic shift of the city, and all the stuff that you've been able to hold over the Yankee fan and everything like that. Sure, right? That was part of it. But the other part was an incredible offensive player was joining your team. And then you got Pete Alonso back. Vientos was a young, budding superstar, and the way he performed last year and into the postseason, hopefully a full season of a healthy Alvarez. Lindor, building on what he's become as a New York Met, and the MVP-type player he became at the end of last year. This was supposed to be an explosive offense and a pitching staff that the lab would be able to get this mediocre rotation without a true ace, and this is the talking points going into the season. Not necessarily how we feel right now, but it was supposed to be an average rotation with guys with a bunch of depth of Blackburn and Griffin Canning and transitioning Clay Holmes into a reliever and what you got from Peterson last year and McGill and, you know, obviously Manaea, who hasn't even, you know, shown up yet, who's still dealing with an injury. And Frankie Montas. This was supposed to be a starting rotation and a bullpen that was very good last year with one of the best closers in baseball at the end of it, and a starting rotation that had a lot of depth and a bunch of 3-4 starters that the Met fans and the organization felt they could get just enough out of and figure out just enough in their pitching lab to turn this rotation into just good enough to go win games with an offense that was supposed to carry it. And I don't know if you've ever heard me, listen to me, I am very big on your strengths being your strengths. And when you have a weakness or perceived weakness, and this is what made the Mets incredible last year, is when you have a perceived weakness like your starting rotation, and it becomes your biggest strength, and it's one of the best starting rotations in all of baseball, that transforms a team that you hoped would be an average run-of-the-mill team that could compete for a postseason with the new rules inside of Major League Baseball, and turned it into the best team in the National League or in baseball in the second half of the season. But you also need your strengths to be your strengths. And right now, this team is supposed to be carried by its offense. It's supposed to be carried by the first three or four hitters in this lineup. It's supposed to be carried by guys like Marte. It's supposed to be carried by guys like Brandon Nimmo. It's supposed to be carried by the idea top to bottom, which in some aspects they do have as many good or above average major league hitters throughout the lineup. But as the managers talked about, it's contagious what they're going through right now with lack of runners in scoring position. And I can promise you, as a Yankee fan, I'm well aware of what this looks like. We have seen this before. But in a game where all this talk is going on about Juan Soto and lack of hustle and losing the Subway Series and knowing Philadelphia is playing arguably the worst team we've ever seen, right, worse than last year's Chicago White Sox. Worse than the initial Met team of 1962. They're out there playing the Colorado Rockies. You're coming off the Subway Series loss. You lose the first game to the Boston Red Sox, a 500 team pretty much. All the talk around Juan Soto. And you come out. The starting pitcher gets thrown out for arguing balls and strikes in the third inning, and you allow the Boston Red Sox to empty out their bullpen and shut you out? This offense has got to be better. Plain and simple. And I know right now we feel like, you know, I'm the first to tell you, it's a baseball season. It's a long baseball season. It's 162 games. I'm not declaring the Mets in any real danger. They're 10 games over 500. They played extremely well. Their rotation and their pitching staff have been far better than we ever expected. They still have a Juan Soto. Everyone, including me and anybody who's had issues with the way he's played baseball over the last, you know, couple weeks or really this season, expect him to turn it around. I expect this offense to turn it around. But right now, we have to see it. We're about to hit Memorial Day weekend, which is the first real tentpole moment for a baseball season where you look around at your team, and if you look at the New York Mets, they're one of the more feeble teams in all of baseball with runners in scoring position. And if you want to win baseball games, that's a key stat. And if Alonso isn't killing the ball and Lindor isn't killing the ball, right now, Juan Soto hasn't been that guy to impact the team. So you wonder why we're talking about Juan Soto? You wonder why we're talking about what he's looked like and his numbers in scoring position and his joy for the game and where's the Soto shuffle and all that stuff? Do you know why? Because it wasn't that hard to see that eventually this great pitching staff wasn't going to be able to cover all of the ills of the offense forever. And Juan Soto is a guy who, okay, is, and I know the contract has been a discussion over the last day. Yeah. Is he a guy worth $765 million? Here's a clue. Nobody is. Juan Soto is drastically overpaid. We all know that. You knew that when you signed the contract. But he's an incredible baseball player, and you do it because he's 26 years old, and for the next 7 to 10 years, he's going to be someone who dramatically impacts your offense, someone who dramatically impacts your team. And the fact of the matter is, when you look at, you know, this game, the double play in the first game of the series, and how he played in the Subway Series going 1-for-10, and what he's been this entire year with runners in scoring position, Juan Soto is not impacting the team. He is not impacting runs scored enough. And right now, fair or unfair, media-driven, Yankee fan-driven, whatever excuses we want to make, he's impacting the team in a negative way because it's become a story. And not hustling has become a story. And his ineffectiveness has become a story. And whether or not he's happy being a Met has become a story. And when you can ride on the high vibes of Grimace, and you can ride on the high vibes of OMG, and you can ride on the high vibes of everything the Mets did last year all the way to an NLCS, but you can ride and get mogged and mired down in negative storylines and negative juice. You can. And right now, that's what it feels like coming off the Subway Series. It has been a momentum shift for the New York Mets. So when the manager says we're going through it, it feels like they are. The offense is going through it. The vibes are going through it. Losing the Subway Series, Juan Soto, everything about it is going through it. But this isn't a new thing for the New York Mets when it comes to runners in scoring position. So the fact of the matter is, this team needs to turn it around. This team is now playing a big game against the Boston Red Sox. You do not want to go out to Boston and get swept. And they are going to have to find a way. And the manager talked about talking to the team and some of the trends he's seeing as an offense, not being aggressive enough. And listen, there's been some hitting into bad luck. Absolutely. They hit a couple of bullets in this game. And you can go back to a bunch of different games where they have some hard hits that are, you know, teams have played good defense against them. They've hit into some bad luck. There's numbers to prove that. But the fact of the matter is, this offense is supposed to carry them. Juan Soto is supposed to be at the top of that, carrying them. Pete Alonso did it for a month. He wasn't going to do it for six. He's cooled off. The balls aren't flying out of the ballpark just in his last, 50 at-bats without a home run now? And this Met offense, and Juan Soto, whether we want to poo-poo it or not, which I got to admit, I'm getting annoyed, and I typically don't do the Met fan, Yankee fan thing. I don't lean into that. Occasionally on Twitter I will and have some fun because that's what that's for a little bit. This is not me trolling the Met fan. This is me as a baseball observer. And quite honestly, even if you want to throw the Yankee fan thing at me, yeah, a Yankee fan that's been rooting for the Mets over the last two games against the Boston Red Sox, and I'd like to have a larger division lead. So even if you think I'm coming at it as a baseball fan watching the New York Mets and this offense, and particularly in a game when the starting pitcher gets thrown out and the entire Boston plan has to change and they throw out a cavalcade of relievers and shut down the Mets last night. And again, I don't get into the Met fan, Yankee fan thing, but if Met fans want to get all into, well, this is all a narrative driven by the Yankee fans and the media and all the stuff I've heard over the last few days and it's all made up and everything. Yeah, look, should there be a ton of stock put into the idea that Juan Soto hates being a Met? Yeah, there shouldn't be a lot of stock put into that. Should there be a lot of stock put into the idea that Juan Soto is desperate to be a Yankee and misses it, and he wanted to be a Yankee, but outside forces like family members and everything else pushed him into it? Yeah, I'd be skeptical to hear that too. I'm not buying any of that. But if you think it's made up that Juan Soto doesn't look like Juan Soto, if you think it's made up that his body language screams someone who's in the moment for whatever reason, maybe just because he's slumping, that's a perfectly good reason. No one's denying it. It doesn't change what we're seeing. He doesn't look like himself. The at-bats don't look like Juan Soto. And a guy who last year for the New York Yankees was a killer with runners in scoring position, this year has been awful, and right now, this entire narrative that, you know, we won't shut up about feels like it's hovering over the team. And the offense has to do a hell of a lot better with runners in scoring position. 888-808-1019. We could talk a little bit of Yankee baseball as well as they take down the Texas Rangers, and Will Warren is providing the Yankees exactly what they needed as he finds himself. These last three starts have been incredible. They needed it desperately. The bottom of the rotation was absolutely killing them. They'll see Ryan Yarbrough later today if the weather holds up. It's exactly what I'm talking about. So the Yankees flying high a little bit, four consecutive series victories. Ben Rice, the youth of this team, continues to impress, continues to lead to victories, and they take the first game of the Texas Rangers. But we'll open with your Met calls, and we will quickly transition into game one of the Eastern Conference Finals against the Indiana Pacers. I'll give you what I think. Obviously, I'll give you the prediction. Everybody loves predictions. And we'll get into what are the key factors in this game and how we see this Pacers series. And we'll take your phone calls on the Mets. We'll take your phone calls on the Knicks. We could sprinkle in a little bit of Yankees. But right now, we are focused on the struggles of the Mets and game one of the Eastern Conference Finals. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. Quick break. Come back with your phone calls next right here on The Fan. All right, 2:30, McMonagle here with you on The Fan on this Wednesday morning, 888-808-1019. We started with the Mets, who last night had a disappointing loss. They are now a game and a half behind the Phillies for first place in the National League East, which was kind of theirs for a month. And the offense continues to struggle. And the Juan Soto thing, again, didn't get any worse today. The not hustling thing was more about his answer, because I think we all understand it happens. Like, I talked about it yesterday. I didn't necessarily think it was that big a deal. It's never good. It's never a good look. It's a bad look, especially when you're struggling. But to deny it after the manager said he would talk to him, and Mendoza didn't want to really get any further in it today when asked about it in pregame, kind of just, well, I'm not going to get into the back and forth of if I talked to him or what we said. I'll keep it in-house. Like, it's a tough spot, especially if Juan Soto's going to make it feel like he is hustling, which, again, he's played good defense. He's stolen some bases. His base running, I saw MLB Network today talking about how his base running is actually better this year. He made a couple of nice plays defensively Sunday night. You know, I think his defense kind of gets overblown sometimes with how terrible he is in the outfield. I do not think he's terrible. I don't think he's very good. He's about a below average right fielder, but it's not anything that should absolutely, you know, kill the Mets. And I think the conversation around him being a DH within a year or two is probably overblown. I think he's more athletic than people give him credit for. But right now, like, it feels like it's hovering. And again, I don't typically get into this Yankee fan, Met fan thing. I'll do it on Twitter sometimes, but I have to admit, I was annoyed. And again, we saw And again, I'll be totally honest with you. I try to be as honest as I can. I was embarrassed leaving Yankee Stadium Sunday night listening to the Yankee fans scream F. Juan Soto as we were leaving the building. I was embarrassed. I thought it was stupid. I thought it was absolutely stupid. I had no problem with booing. I had no problem with the bleachers turning their back on him. I thought that was all within bounds and actually fun and fair. And I thought Juan Soto handled it great on Friday. And you could just feel it wore on him by Sunday. It wore on him by Sunday. He doesn't want to do the interview. He doesn't want to talk to the media after the game. It just wore on him. And again, I saw videos last night against the Texas Rangers, which I hate. I hate it. I hate when it's F. Altuve, unless Altuve is in the building. Even then, I don't like the F. Altuve stuff, but at least I can understand it. I hate it when they're playing someone else and I hear an F. Altuve chant start, but I guess that's over. We have a new F. somebody, and it's F. Juan Soto. And again, there are videos of the Yankee fans getting into it last night against the Texas Rangers. It's just stupid. I hate it. I hate the Rangers doing Potvin sucks when they're playing someone else. I think it's dumb. You want to do it when they play the Islanders? Fine. I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. And it makes the Yankee fan look small and petty and dumb. That's what it makes it feel like to me. But I have to admit, I'm seeing KFC from Barstool, obviously Tommy doing his thing in the afternoon today. All like the idea that this is all driven and drummed up by Yankee fans who are desperate to prove that Juan Soto was a better Yankee than a Met and who, you know, the Yankees are better off without him and what a terrible contract and the Mets are screwed for forever and how embarrassing. And like, this is all made up by the New York Yankee fan. Like, it's so, it actually drives me nuts. What is made up by the New York Yankee fan exactly? Like, they put out a video about the Subway Series, and every Met fan is all over it going, oh, how embarrassing. Please, no one's making up anything. The New York Yankee fan is not manifesting what's going on with Juan Soto. It is clear to anyone watching the games, clear, that his body language sucks. Yankee fans aren't making that up. Yankee fans aren't, you know, manifesting that. The Yankee fans aren't, oh, who's starting this narrative that he's not happy? I don't know. Anyone who watches the games. Anyone who watches the games. And I saw this big thing from Pedro Martinez about, hey, you don't understand the human side of this and it's not easy to go through. But we can make all the excuses in the world and they're probably all right. It is. I don't think anyone's denying the idea that this is probably a human element kind of thing, and he's just dealing with something. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's. You know, I'm not saying it's because he misses the Yankees or because he's miserable with the Mets. So it just maybe it's a new thing for him, a new transition. The idea I talked about this yesterday. The idea that it's a finality thing. That the last couple of years he always had it on his head, on his mind that he was going to pick the team he wanted to pick, and he was waiting for free agency, and now it's over. Maybe he really was really looking forward to the idea of being wined and dined and picking a franchise and trying to make this enormous contract, whether it's just about the money or the prestige or the or, you know, having this large contract that would be on the books. And he's the, you know, the top of the food chain as far as Major League Baseball players go. And this amazing contract that Scott Boras was telling me he was going to get. He was looking forward to it. And now it's over. And now, whether it's the Mets or it would have been the Yankees or the San Diego Padres or the Chicago Cubs or the Tampa Bay Rays, I have no idea. Whoever it was going to be, maybe there's some sort of finality to it. And he's like, well, now I'm here for 15 years. I better make this work. You know? Like, maybe there's just something to that. Or maybe it's just coming to grips with whatever he's coming to grips with. I have no idea. But I am really getting annoyed at the idea that the Yankee fans are manifesting this thing. Or that, you know, WFAN is nothing but clickbait, blah, blah, blah. What happened to the station? What happened to the station? What should we do? Ignore what we're looking at? Ignore the obvious? Drives me absolutely nuts. Like, it's not happening. That we're all he's having a miserable start to the year, and more than that, he looks morose. He does. No one's making it up. He does. We talked about it, like I've heard people compare it to Lindor. We talked about it when Lindor was going through it. He's giving the fans, you know, he's giving the thumbs down. He's kind of unhappy being a Mets. He's unhappy with the pressure that comes along with the Mets or whatever else. Like, we talked about it. Should we ignore it? No one's trying to say the Mets made a terrible decision. No one's trying to say anything other than right now, for whatever reason, and we all expect it to change because he's too damn good. But right now, something's going on with Juan Soto. And now it feels like, and it's only a couple of games, and they might break out for 10 runs tomorrow, later today. And I promise you, I'm rooting for it. But it feels like coming off the Subway Series, heading into the Subway Series, they played a lackluster game against the Pirates that last game. They took the first two games of the series against the Pirates. They had the Subway Series on their mind. They went through the motions in that last Pittsburgh game. Soto gets the day off looking forward to the Yankee series. They get beat in the Subway Series. Pete Alonso throws the ball away. They didn't play particularly well. The one game they won was a close nail-biter. The Yankees kind of pulled away late in both of the other games. Like, I don't know. And then the conversation around Juan Soto. It feels like it's got a little bit of a cloud over this team, and it followed them to Boston. And the offensive struggles continue, and for the first time in a while, it feels like the pitching staff hasn't been there dominant enough, although they only give up two runs in this game, and Clay Holmes yet again gives you another great start outside of two solo home runs. And it just wasn't enough to overcome the offense's ineptitude of runners in scoring position. And he's supposed to be a guy who get you through all this. But, like, I got to admit, normally I don't let this Yankee fan, Met fan thing, like, get me all annoyed. But the idea the Yankee fans and then the station is making this stuff up. Like, we're making it up. It's clear as day to anyone who watched them last year and anyone who's watching them now. Now, his numbers, has he given you numbers just like this in San Diego? Sure, right? I mean, he last year was the best year of his career. Fair. And I didn't watch him every day in San Diego, and there were some issues. I remember particularly a post-game interview that he gave, and they were like, you know, he's like, what's going on with the offense, whatever, and he pretty much said, I don't know, ask my teammates. Like, okay, we don't know. But I can go back to his World Series appearance and watch the Soto shuffle. Something's up with him. And no one's mad, no one's making it up, and it's not a Yankee fan-driven narrative. It's right there in front of all our faces. You want to deny it and hide behind it's the other fan base in town that is pathetic and sad? Go try and do it. Good luck. Close your eyes, stick your head in the sand, and blame the Yankee fan. Go ahead. It's ridiculous. 888-808-1019. EJ in East Meadow. What's up, EJ?
Maybe I missed part of the show. Who said that? Who said that they? Who? What Mets fan or what?
All over the place.
Oh no! I've listened to the radio all day, man. Most Mets fans are calling in saying the same stuff. That I've even heard some of them suggest to trade the guy. So
well, I mean, that's crazy. But yeah, no, I've seen a lot of prominent Mets fans and different people talk about how this is all nonsense. It's media driven. It's Yankee fan driven. It's all, you know,
can't be Yankee fan driven because right. Mets fans are saying it too. Like I just want you to know, if you don't know, from Mets fans. We all see it too. It's clear as day. So that part, I think is kind of moot. Three things real quick. Starting pitching hasn't lost us many games this year, including most of the ones, including the five out of the six that we just lost,
right.
Other than the Pittsburgh one that we decided to. So it's not a starting pitching issue. I agree with you also on the idea that, hey, you know what? You got to focus on your strengths. Guess what? Our strength early in the year, 41, 42 games in, or whatever the case is, 49 games almost. It's one of those things. It is one of our strengths. And the whole if Pete Alonso didn't do this, if Francisco Lindor didn't do this, if they didn't do that, they did. Yeah. And the team is still winning. That's the point. They yes. Did they lose five out of their last six, 100%. But they've done all this just 2 days ago or 3 days ago before all this Soto mess came up. Everybody was like, "Look, hey, they're doing it without Soto. They're doing it without this. Yeah. They're doing it without that."
But yeah, but you can't expect just as much as
absolutely something is absolutely up with him.
Yeah,
something and is it's
right. But I'm just as you did
I just want to make one last point. I'm sorry. Yeah, don't hang up on me.
No, I'm not going to hang up on you. But I'm saying, just like we said, it's amazing they're doing it without him. Or Soto struggles, don't expect that to last. You can't also expect for the starting pitching and the pitching to carry you to the point it's carried at the start of the year. Like this offense, this is now, the owner commented on it. We've seen the manager talk about them going through it. The offense is particularly bad at the moment, but it's not been good all year. They're the third worst team with runners in sports position in baseball. Like, time for the offense to pick it up. It's now time for Juan Soto to put this aside and start figuring it out.
See, Mac, it's been time. The point is, they're still winning. So the whole idea that they have a winning record, of course, yes. They lose the last five.
They're still 10 games over 500.
They have a significant winning record. They're the third or fourth best team. Yeah, I'm sorry?
They're 9 games over. I said 10. Yeah. They're 9 games over 500. Oh.
No, but I'm saying they've done some of this with some mirrors, if you will. And the last point I wanted to make real quick, you brought up all those folks about this was supposed to be, whether it was a Blackburn, a Manaya, or whatever the case is, or a Montage, they're not here yet either. We haven't seen what the team was actually really, truly built yet also, and they're still way ahead of the game. You, just like everybody else, one thing that you, media, does, and Keith, oh my goodness gracious, what you guys do is you do sometimes paint this picture like, I mean, at the end of the day, what is your point? They've done it all anyway, and if the offense doesn't pick up and they're still 35-22 in 7 more games, what difference does it make?
No, but the offense has to be better because I don't expect them to be that good for that long without the offense hitting. Like, what should we do? We're talking about our teams. I'm not saying.
Well, I'm asking.
My point is the offense has got to be better. And today was frustrating. And to watch the starting pitcher get knocked out in the third inning and not be able to capitalize and score 3 runs and allow 2 solo home runs to beat it's a frustrating loss.
I understand. I mean, and guess what? The manager, Alex Cora, got kicked out too. He wasn't there yesterday. We couldn't score more than 1 run yesterday either.
No, I know.
It happened. These kind of things happen. I don't understand why all of a sudden it has to be, hey, you know what? They got to turn the switch on now. If they don't turn the switch on now, guess what? If they don't turn the switch on now, we're still a game and a half behind Philly, who ain't that great. I don't care what anybody says.
We'll just come on and go, the season's the season, and we'll see what happens.
I'm not talking about
the struggles they're going through right now. I didn't say it's going to be something that cost them. I didn't say it was going to end of the season.
That's why it sounds like I'm sitting here yelling at my phone as you're saying, you know what? Do I think they're going to be like this? Do I think they're going to? You are probably the most pragmatic person on the fan. So I get it. But if you're going to say, hey, I don't really think they're going to be like this and this, that, and the third, then you know what? They don't have to flip a switch right now. They have to figure out what the hell is wrong with Juan Soto and absolutely how the heck they're actually going to figure out. Guess what, guys? If we score 6 or 7 or 8 runs a game, we can afford when McGill doesn't know how to pitch later on, and when Manaya comes back, and when so on and so forth, and hopefully we get something out of Blackburn. They can afford that. This is it's freaking 25 games into the season.
Of course.
I mean 25% rather 25% into the season.
Yeah, I understand it, and thank you for the call. I understand it. EJ, this is what I don't understand. What should we do? We all understand it's not a football season. We all understand it's a baseball season. We saw what the Mets turned it around last year. I'm just saying the offense has to be better. What should I do? Should we not talk Mets? Should we not talk Yankees until the season's halfway through? The offense is going through it right now. It's off the Juan Soto stuff, and they do have to figure out some issues with their offense. They're the third worst team with runners in scoring position. They've now lost 4 out of 5 and blew a division lead that they had. They swept the Phillies. They were up over the Phillies. But at one point, was it a 4-game lead? They're a game and a half behind. And Memorial Day is the first place where you start to look at where you are in the standings. And right now, the offense is struggling. And I don't know. I expect Juan Soto. I didn't say I expect the offense to necessarily hit better with runners in scoring position, because you know what? It hasn't all year. They have to flip some switch. They have to, five out of six is that's a losing streak. You say they're still winning. I had a call from Duncan last night. They're still winning. They're still winning. They've lost 5 of 6, and have now fallen into second place. It's not like they're still winning. They've just lost back-to-back series. Yeah, they still have a record of 29-20. They're still a quality baseball team. But like, what should we say? Let's just avoid talking baseball because it's May. Okay, we'll avoid talking baseball. Well, listen, it doesn't really matter because they've had a fairly good record, and I know it's 5 of 6, but what does it matter? Like, there are things to get, there are things to talk about in the moment. Like, this is why I don't understand the baseball conversation. There are things we can talk about in the moment without necessarily saying, I know this is going to be I've had this issue with Anthony Volpe. Anthony Volpe has had had three consecutive at-bats until he got a double that knocked in a run, a bloop double, by the way. But he had three consecutive at-bats where he didn't come through with runners in scoring position batting fifth. And immediately the conversation is, he's a bum, he's terrible, he's awful, how the hell is he hitting fifth? Well, he's got an OPS of 1,000 against left-handed pitching. That's how he's hitting fifth. I know it's three batted bats. We have to take everything in stride, I understand that. But now they're losing, and they've always been hitting this poorly. My point is, the offense hasn't been really dynamic all year. It hasn't come through with runners in scoring position all year. And a starting staff that was pitching incredibly well, despite not being incredibly talented, has been covering up for it. And that won't happen forever. And now you're seeing the beginnings of it. Larry from Rockville Center. What's up, Larry?
Hey, Chris.
What's up, buddy?
I guess on Soto, it struck me when he, and it's not really a baseball thing, when he got to second base and he's looking around, it struck me, and he said, what did I do? Why did I leave this? And, when you got the most money, I'm with a good team, my next 15 years is laid out for me. What do I do next? He says, what did I do?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if it's what did I do joining the Mets. I think it could just be the idea of, all right, well, now there's no goal to obtain. Not necessarily because
exactly.
I'm not because I'm rich and happy, and so now I don't care about things, which is like some people's stupid narrative that, well, he got the bag, he got the money, so now he's not motivated. But there is some sort of like, just adjustment of, I've been chasing that moment and that contract and finding out where I was going to play, and now I've accomplished it. Now I know where I'm going to be the next 15 years, and maybe there's just a natural, for him at least, a lull to it. Some people are thrilled to be done with the pressure of playing under the eye, waiting for a contract, and some guys might have been looking forward to it, and now all of a sudden it's gone, and he's just staring into the next 15 years going, well,
I think it's a little bit of a lament.
Yeah,
but
even if it's not a Met lament, even if it's not a necessary,
has nothing to do with that.
Right.
I think eventually, I'll watch more Met games than I've ever watched, just to watch him at bat.
Yeah, well, Sunday Night Baseball was the best rated Sunday Night Baseball game in a while. Like, they've, it's interesting. And listen, I loved watching Juan Soto play, and he is not the same player right now. I don't know what it is. The body language is dramatically
I think he'll shake it, and it'll come about. But it just struck me. It says he had some lament. Maybe I made a wrong decision. I bought into Boris's deal with the highest paid guy. I don't know. Who knows?
No, I don't know. Thank you for the call, Larry. Again, I don't think that there is a very heavy lament that he's a New York Met. I think that's unfair. Right? I don't know why there's no reason to think that. But there's something maybe about just making, not chasing that goal. For years he was chasing that goal. He was turning down $100 million contracts 3-4 years ago. So, this has been what he's been waiting for years. And now it's come and gone, and he's just staring into the next 15 years with the same team. And maybe he's just, I don't know. It just, it didn't automatically feel like, wow, what a wonderful place, and I'm so happy here. So it's coming to terms with it. It's probably normal. And maybe he's just slumping too. Like, there's not so much to look into it. But I just, and I know EJ said that there's not a lot of noise to it. I can promise you, I've gotten a lot of, this is all Yankee fan and Yankee media nonsense. Let's go to Rob in New London. What's up, Rob? Rob, you still there? No? All right, let's go to Mark in California. What's up, Mark?
What's going on, Phil?
What's up, brother?
All I can think about is Knicks, but I did want to talk Mets.
No, we could. You can get right into the Knicks. I'm definitely going to, in the 3 o'clock hour, I'm going to make the transition into game. It just felt like, you know, some the coming off that just inept offensive performance and all the Juan Soto talk. And I got to tell you, yesterday, and I'm open to being open with the fans. Like, I can count on one hand. Like, I did a 5-hour show last night. I can count on one hand the amount of times I've done a 5-hour show, looked at the phone bank, and saw a full 5 calls all up on the same subject. Like, that is rare. So it's what the people want to talk about.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I was at all 3 Yankee games. You know what I mean? I've been watching Soto with my own eyes. We had a chance to watch him last year. Mm-hmm. His bat speed is 100% not as good as last year, though. Not as
bad. You think his bat speed specifically? I haven't noticed that. I'm not saying you're wrong. It hasn't jumped out to me.
Well, I mean, I'm an analytic guy, right? Okay. I run an analytic firm, so. His bat speed this year is actually down 2 miles an hour from last season.
Is it really?
So typically, So the bat speed, the MLB average for bat speed is 72 miles per hour, the fast swing rate, right? That's typically, fast swing rate is a percentage of swings over 75 miles an hour. Mm-hmm. Soto's been cut by almost a third. Not just that, Lindor's is down, Nimmo's is down, and Mark Vientos is all down. And that could just be like an organizational like philosophy of not swing as hard and prioritize bat to ball ability, right?
Yeah.
And that's typically swing as hard. Yankees just have
maybe could be cold weather, cold, rainy weather,
yeah,
too.
It could be a bunch of factors. Listen, Soto's in a lot of good categories offensively, but in terms of, remember, he's 26 years old, but he's not just 26, though. He has the most miles you've ever seen of an outfielder at age 26. Remember, he came into the league at 18 years old. So this guy's been playing for 7 full seasons. So it's not like there's going to be a massive drop-off from the Yankees to the Mets. But the thing is just like he has to know this as a player. You know, I was very disappointed in his ability to not really tune out everything that was kind of like happening at the stadium. Like, come on, you're going back to Yankee Stadium. It's like when he went from, you know, Washington to San Diego, right? Like, Washington booed the hell out of him too. You know what I mean? It's like you can't sit here and count that as, you know, something that's happening. The one thing about Soto, though, is throughout his career, he's had trouble keeping the ball off the ground. You know what I mean? He has a career 48.2% ground ball rate, which is comfortably above the league average of, I think, 42%. So these are just analytics, and I'm the type of guy that's going to talk Soto, but I'm going to talk analytics and, like, kind of educate most people on everyone's, like, he's still having a pretty good year. It's just his numbers are just all over.
I appreciate your analytics stuff. I look at these numbers too, but I honestly don't think the Juan Soto thing at the moment, maybe as the season goes on, right now, I don't think it's analytic. If you want to describe to me the issue of Juan Soto, to me, it's more of a wide brushing conversation that begins with one word, which is impact. Because you could tell me all the numbers you want about him having still relatively the same number of ground balls, still relatively the same number of this. His OPS is still around 830, still having a relatively good year. Hard hit rate is just as high as it was at different times of his career and blah, blah, blah. All true, all fine, all fair. The impact he made on the Nationals was immense. The impact he made on the Yankees last year was immense. The impact he made on the fan base and the organization just by signing on the dotted line was immense.
Yeah.
the impact he is making right now for the first 2 months of the season.
I agree.
Certainly when he first got traded there, he did not have an impact. The second year, he still had his first full year in San Diego wasn't all that bad. It wasn't as good as it was with the Yankees or his best with the Nationals, but I think his OPS was over 900, if I'm not mistaken. I got to go back and look. But he had a pretty good year. Here's the issue. He's not impacting the team right now. And for the first time, because of all the noise around it, it feels like it might even be a negative impact for the moment.
He still has more walks than strikeouts. So, I mean, you know, and not only that, but, I mean, his contact rate's still high. It's just the thing is that last year, playing behind Judge, I mean, it helped immensely, right? Like, he's never had that type of production. When he was at Washington, he was playing with amazing. If you saw that lineup, it was just crazy. Josh Bell, Abrams, it was nuts, right? He was playing in front of a crazy. Even San Diego, you could argue that San Diego's lineup was better than the Mets and the Yankees in terms of.
It had some stars in it, yeah, no doubt. And thank you for the call, because we got a break at the top. I appreciate it. But you could also say, look, he was dominant in the World Series, and Howie Kendrick was hitting behind him. Now, Howie Kendrick actually had a great playoffs that year, but Howie Kendrick was hitting behind him. So I don't think it's necessarily all about that. 888-808-1019. We'll still take your phone calls on the Mets. Rob is back on the line. He wanted to talk Yankees. We'll still do a little bit of baseball, but we are going to transition into the Knicks because it is game one of the Eastern Conference Finals, what we've been waiting for since the party in the Garden of Friday night, what it's felt like an eternity to get ready for a game one tonight. I am absolutely pumped about it. We all are here in this city. We're going to get into it next. McMonagle here with you on the fan. We'll still take your calls, but we will transition into game one of the Eastern Conference Finals, the first time we've been able to say that in 25 years. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on the fan. Be right back.